Please open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to ask a question before as I begin. The topic for today is God's unspeakable gift. God's unspeakable gift. What comes to your mind when you think of gift? Gift? Do you think of birthdays? When you go to someone who is celebrating birthday, invited, you give them the, give to the person a gift. Or wedding. Invited to a wedding, receptions, you bring a gift with you. Or any special day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, those special days, or unspecial days. Incidentally, many years ago, I read of an article which says that, well, you know, we always celebrate special days. Celebrate unspecial day instead. No special occasion, but this, maybe for that occasion to give to your spouse and say, happy unspecial day. Something to make the person happy, to encourage the person on. Don't have to be only on the particular occasion that you have it. Okay. If a particular occasion, nowadays it is very commercialized, isn't it? And all the prices of all those things suddenly went up on that for that occasion. Whether Valentine's Day, Parents' Day, Teacher's Day, you know, Children's Day. But have an unspecial day. But whichever of these, there's a gift given. Webster Dictionary described gift as something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. When you give somebody, you don't expect the fellow to give you back something. That's really a gift. Okay. Or sometimes, as what Chambers says, you know, something that's given a present, or something a natural ability, or even a process, an act of giving gifts to the person. So when we think of gift, we think even of special talents and abilities. This is a gift, isn't it? The ability to sing. Not everybody can sing well. You're able to play some musical instrument. There's a gift. Gift in organizing. Some people are able to organize events. Tell them, okay, we have special event and certain day and so on and so forth. I leave it to the hand of this person. The person will start to plan. What's the budget? What's the thing to be done first and second and third and so on and so forth? Well, some people may be very gifted in handiworks, art and craft. Very good. Some may be very gifted in cooking. They cook well. Some, speaking. Be able to deliver eloquently, clearly. Some may be gifted in listening. The person can actually sit down and listen to you. And that is not something that many of us do, isn't it? Our attention span seems to be very, very short. Many times, oftentimes. And that is why we always encourage that, especially in a worship service like this, have the sermon note behind, or you have a book, you know, write down, you know, and then it will help you to be attentive, to listen, so they can think. Okay. Or some are gifted in writing. Not every one of us are gifted in writing, isn't it? So we have a website. I hope you are aware that we have a website. www.calvarytongue.com. See, one of the problems that we have always with our website is it is easy to set up. But it's very, very difficult to maintain. What do I mean by maintain? I mean, you have to write articles, you have all this, and so on and so forth. We are not an organization such as maybe news media, whatever. They have people specialized in writing and so on. But in the church, you know. And so often we ask, okay, young people, you know, we have a page for you. Can you write an article? Very difficult. Very difficult to get back. And ask somebody else, okay, can you write a special an article for this and so on and so forth? And they can't. Sunday school, can you write something? Or you have an event, outing and so on. Can you write something? Many can avoid it, they will avoid it. Not many of us are into writing. But those who are able, thank God. Then what else is considered a gift? The Bible tells us that faith is a gift, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That verse, that verse tells us, what is faith? It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Now, as we continue to think about gift, have you ever considered the ability in the area of giving as a gift? And this is actually what we have been thinking about for the past few weeks, thinking from chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. It's talking about giving. And that giving is a gift. And so that is why as we go through, as we think about this, and then the Apostle Paul at the end of 2 Corinthians, verse 19, he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. His conclusion at the end of the two chapter is this. Let us discover further about this. Why is it that the Apostle Paul has this conclusion? We have gone through the various chapter, but I think it's good for us just to have a quick revision. The church in Corinth is having a lot of problems and so forth. The Apostle Paul has to deal with the various problems. And he dealt with them in 1 Corinthians and then thereafter in 2nd letter and 3rd letter and so on. But finally he comes to 2 Corinthians, which the Lord has preserved for us. And so the first couple of chapters having dealt with the various issues pertaining to perspective and attitude in serving the Lord, and the required holiness underlying it, as well as improved relationship with the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 8 to give them the important reminder regarding what? Regarding their commitment a year ago to give a relief fund to help the believers in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was having famine. The church was already very poor to begin with. Why was it very poor? They were under persecutions. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles that the believers came together despite being persecuted by the religious authorities as well as the Romans. They gathered, they help one another. Those who have resources help other people without resources. And all this they pass it to the church leader. And one of the examples was Barnabas, who sold some of his property and then put it at the apostles' feet. And this was in turn distributed out to help. But as through the passage of time, you have property, you sell off. They will not sustain you forever, isn't it? And being persecuted, they will not have able to find jobs easily and so on and so forth. Some have to leave Jerusalem and went on to Samaria and then other parts of the world. So it was a very difficult time. And then in the midst of all this difficulty, there was famine. So the Apostle Paul went around to churches and tell them that there's a need there. Would you be willing to help them? Reminding them. And so they made a commitment, yes, we will, we will. But there was, after that, there was a lot of problem back and forth, back and forth. And in the midst of the problem, people with help giving. Suddenly, they are not giving as they should be giving. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to them, starting from chapter 8, reminding them of this. So as he began in chapter 8, he gave a commendations of the Macedonian Christians. About what? Number one, their sacrificial giving. Number two, concerning the expression of their love. And then, because this is an expression of their love, this is a mark of the spiritual growth. The willingness to give does express, does show the spiritual growth of that person. If your spiritual growth is stunted, you are stingy, you will not be willing to give. So that is why, as you read the apostle letters, many letters, you say, one of the things we always commend them, you know, to show their spiritual growth, they actually help some other believers, help and so on and so forth. There is a love for fellow brethren. You know that they are in need, you help out. And so, the apostle Paul commended the Christian in Macedonia for this. And then he continued with that to exhort the Corinthian Christian. Well, you should be following the examples of the Macedonian Christians. Then he went on to say that, well, remember 1 year ago you made the commitment. You better do something about it. Don't just talk only. No action. Get ready. So that when I come, everything will be ready. So he reminded them of the commitment. At the same time as well, he gave his recommendation of Titus and the two brethren who will be going to their midst to collect the offerings. Talking about a credential, about a mission. Otherwise, the Corinthian Christian will say, who are these people? Why do they come and take this money for what? Can I trust them to bring the money there? Someone says, well, money is always a very sensitive thing, isn't it? And so the Apostle Paul said, Titus and the two brethren, what's their name? We do not know, but the Bible didn't tell us. And so that was in chapter 8. And in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul continued. And now he commended the Corinthian Christians of their commitment to contribute financially to help the church in Jerusalem. You made a commitment a year ago. And when you make that commitment, you told me that you are going to make the commitment, the Apostle Paul told them. So I began to tell the churches in Macedonia, you know, the Corinthians, they are making a commitment to help the believers in Jerusalem. And so when the Macedonian Christians heard this, they were stirred in their hearts. And yes, we must also do something about it. Now, Macedonian Christians, they are financially, they are far, far less privileged compared to the Corinthians. Yet their heart was stirred. They said, we must do something about it. And so with that, the Apostle Paul continued to remind them concerning giving, concerning to be ready. And then beginning verse 6 of chapter 9, he tells them about the principle of giving. What is the principle? Number one, it must be purposeful. Giving must be intentional. You must determine in the heart, yeah, I'm going to give. There's a need. I felt stir in my heart, I want to help out the person. It must be a purpose. So first of all, it must be purposeful. Secondly, it must be cheerful. It must be from the heart, heartily. By the way, the word cheerful has the same root word that we have the English word hilarious. So you give it very cheerfully, you know, as though it's very hilarious. You are laughing all the way in giving. Instead of the expression people say, well, this person earned money and laughing all the way to the bank. But you're laughing all the way as you give to help somebody else, knowing that the person has been helped, the work is being supported. So first of all, it's purposeful. Second, it's cheerful. Thirdly, it's mindful that God is the source of this grace. God provided all this. And lastly, thankful. Thankful from the giver as well as the receiver. And it was mentioned there. And so, as the Apostle Paul described this, he says, well, fellow brethren in Corinth, you must do your part. But as he described all of these things, one of the key things as we notice in these two chapters is that it is often talked about as they are encouraged to give, as the people give, the Apostle Paul says that it is the grace of God at work. I want you to turn to chapter 8, verse 1. Think of this. The Apostle Paul began in chapter 8, verse 1 with this. He said, moreover, brethren, I do you to know, the word with means know, of what? Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to know, Corinthian believers, concerning the grace of God working in the lives of the Macedonian believers. What is it? Verse 2, how that in great trials, afflictions, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. What was the grace of God? The willingness, the desire in the heart to what? The ability to give. So the willingness, the ability to give is the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul continued to emphasize this as we move on. In verse 6, he says, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you what? The same grace of also. Finish in you what? The giving. You Corinthians, he comes to you so that you what? This grace. What's the grace? The grace of giving. The willingness to give. Then he continues in verse 9. Citing the example that this grace was first demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Verse 9, the verse that we memorize. No. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was it? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He gave himself. Though he was rich, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He gave the example in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we move on in verse 19. Talking about the fact that we ought to bring the brother along and then to collect, it says that, verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, declaring and declaration of your ready mind. Travel with us with what? With this grace. What is this grace? The giving that the Corinthians are to give. Let's continue on discovering this. In chapter 9, verse 8, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And here, the context is talking about what? Giving. And God is able to give you this grace that abound in you, so that you will stir in your heart, you will be willing to what? To give. Verse 14. And so the Apostle Paul tells them that by the prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, they pray for you that you will grow in that grace. They will learn to give more, help others as well. And so with that, he concludes, thanks be to God for what? His unspeakable gift. This gift refers to the grace of God, which is the ability to give. And so, as we think of this unspeakable gift, so what is this unspeakable gift? It is the ability to give through the resources that God, in His infinite wisdom and grace, has entrusted to each individual child of God, so that it be used to appreciate, encourage, and help fellow brothers and sisters in need. It is an expression of the grace of God. And of course, this grace was first what? Expressed in our Lord Jesus Christ. It has its root in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have discovered in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. And so as the Apostle Paul talked about this, he's talking to who? To Christians. He said, Christians, you experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glory to die for your sin. And the ability to have this grace to give out of the heart and concern stem from the fact that you are a child of God. The Apostle Paul, John, put it another way. That this is expressed in that love one for another. He says, dearly beloved, love one another. And that love for one another is expressed in a practical way in what? Giving, helping one another. And so, as we think about the grace of God, this gift of God that He has given to us, why is it that the Apostle Paul says that it is unspeakable? The word unspeakable is what we would today call, use it maybe, indescribable. It is beyond word to describe it and beyond our comprehension to understand it. Romans 11 verse 33 tells us, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable, how unspeakable, the same word, are His judgment and His ways past finding out. It is unspeakable because we do not understand why God should use us to be His channel of blessings to others, who in turn become channels of blessing to us who give. Do you know that it is a blessing to give to people? But it's also a blessing to receive from people. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we read, it said, I show you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed meaning you give, you are blessed, receive, you are blessed as well. But it's more blessed to give. That is why in the church God has put in the midst, in this body, so those who are financially richer, those who are financially poorer, so that you can be used of the Lord to be channel of blessings to those who are poorer if you are financially richer. But your blessing will come if you are willing to give to somebody, isn't it? Blessed to give. But when you give, that person must be willing to receive, right? If nobody is going to receive you, the person is not giving you the blessing of giving. That's why I remind some of our brethren, financially when they need help, I say, you are giving blessing to the person who are helping you. By your refusal to accept that offer of help, you are not giving the person the opportunity to be a channel of blessings. So it's a very marvelous thing. So that is why the apostle tells us it is beyond comprehension. It is very difficult to fully describe the whole thing. And so as we think about this unspeakable gift, it is the grace of God. Originating first of all in our Lord Jesus Christ, the ability in each and every one of us to give. So if you are willing, able to give, thank God for this. It is the grace of God. You have nothing to boast of. It is all the grace of God. All that we have come from the Lord, isn't it? Your resources, your ability, your whatever it is. In this case, of course, in this step 2 chapter, the focus is financial. You have more money than the others, it is God's grace to you. So be thankful and grateful. And as it's the grace of God, it's the gift of God, it means what? It is a stewardship. How are you using this? God will hold each and every one of us accountable for how we use this resource that He has given us. This financial resource. So as we continue to think about this, the Apostle Paul in verse 12 tells us about the reason to be thankful. He says, at the end of it, he says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Why? In verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. First of all, it says, give the reason why. The administration, the service, the action of doing this service. The word service is religious duty. Okay? What is a religious duty? Your duty of helping one another one spiritually. So, the Apostle Paul says, well, I receive from you as we administer, as we distribute out, as we help the churches in Jerusalem and so on, as it's been helped to provide the needs of the church there. He says that, well, this result, number one, verse 12, it says, not only supply of the wants of the saints. Your giving, now we're going to bring this giving to Jerusalem and then we're going to administer it to give out to the people and so on and so forth, those in need. This supply their needs. There's really a want in Jerusalem. These are fellow saints, fellow believers. So this offering that we're going to collect, Titus is going to collect with his, the two brethren collect from you, he's going to supply to the needs of the brethren there. But not only that, it results in what? Thanksgiving unto God. It is a means of stirring up grateful thanks to the Lord. In verse 12 again, the second part. But it's abundant, overflowing also what? By what? Many thanksgiving unto God. As these people receive help, they thank God. God is glorified. They've been languishing in needs. God can supply through any means. God says, I'm going to use you. But when this gift comes to these brethren, the saints in Jerusalem, in their deep poverty, in their need, when this thing comes in, what result? Result in thanksgiving unto God. Thank God for all this thing that comes in. You see, you can never experience that if you are in abundance. When you are in dire strait, when you need that financial need and it comes in, it really stirs in your heart to God that God supply my needs. God used each and every one of us for that purpose. And so it says they stir up in grateful thanks. God is glorified, verse 13. While by the experimentation, the proving of this ministration, this service, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. And as they receive this gift, they are thankful to the Lord to see that, hey, you are growing spiritually. They thank God for that, and God is glorified. And with that, they began to do what else? In verse 14, fellowship is built up by the prayer for you. They begin to pray for you. You pray for them. You help them. This is fellowship. Fellowship means you partaking of one another. You are involved in one another. You help one another. The word fellowship is a very broad word. You communicate with one another. You commune with one another. Not just saving something at Abraham's day and then have a cup of tea or cup of coffee. You talk like this. Yeah, one aspect of fellowship, communicating verbally and so on. But there are other aspects of that fellowship as well. Someone illustrate this as though, you know, it is in the ship. They're having faced the tempest, a big, huge storm. And all the fellow in the ship, what do? Need to pour out the water. Everybody do it, throw the water away, right? Everybody do their part. So either sing or sing there together. They stay afloat or stay afloat together. Fellowship. And so the Apostle Paul says, yeah, this is the reason for thankfulness. So as we think about this grace that God has given to us, what should be our response? I'd like to suggest four. Come from the word gift, G-I-F-T. First of all, think of grace, G. Acknowledge that it is all the grace of God. The fact that you and I are sitting here this afternoon, it is the grace of God. God in His grace and His mercy chose us before the foundation of the world. That we should be recipients of His gift. What is His gift? The gift of faith? What is His gift? His only begotten Son, whom He sent into this world to die for our sin, to shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary, buried, rose again the third day for our redemption. And the Spirit of God drawing each and every one of us to Himself. This is the irresistible grace of God. That we come before God and acknowledging our sin and to come before Him and say, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner. Be my Lord and Savior. It is the grace of God. But is it just this all? The grace that give us the strength, the ability as we press on each day. The ability to give, the ability to earn. The ability to do things. This is what? The grace of God. Natural talents, some of us may say that, but it is the grace of God. And so the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I've come thus far, it is because the grace of God. Because He has given me the resources, He has given me the wisdom, He has given me the ability. Where are you now? Whichever your station might be, is it the grace of God? It is the grace of God. God's grace has sustained us and kept us, each and every one of us, thus far. Some of us experience more challenges. Whether it be in terms financially, some of us face challenge in terms of health. And we know that as we press on, as we come to this day, we say that God's grace has been sufficient for me. God's grace has been sufficient for me. He has helped me. He sustained me. There may be moments where you are frightened, where you are fearful, you are worried. Yet comforted by God's word. And as you press on, trusting Him, you find really indeed His grace has been sufficient. Enough to help you through your crisis, through your difficulties. It is the grace of God. I remember years ago when my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, the family decided to give expensive treatments and so on, private hospital initially, and then after that. But for us, financially, we were not that well off. We are tight. We were having, based on the one income, where we are living in a Singapore economy whereby it's based on two income economy, isn't it? Husband and wife working, you know, just make it comfortable. And here we are, one income. Pauline wasn't working, she was a homemaker. Financially, it was very tight. And now with this additional commitment, what do? We pray. And the Lord supplied, provided. We decided to sell off our flat, downgrade, move on. in order to provide an additional finance there. But in the midst of all this, the financial is very tight. Then I remember one day, someone came. Unexpectedly, let's say with an envelope, $10,000. We didn't tell the person about this, that we are in these issues and so on and so forth. Our heart was stirred up with grateful thanks to the Lord. Then subsequently, another check came in as well. And the Lord provided. And yet, He has been faithful. So some of us maybe today we'll be struggling, thinking about your resources and so forth. I mean, I could have raised at that time to take on a different job. That probably my income would probably be many, many times much more. But I chose to remain in the same job. Someone said, "What do you mean? Do you want to stay in that particular job?" Because the Lord laid upon my heart, there's a ministry here in Calvary Tengah. That should be my focus. I stay on. Because that job will provide me the facility where I can be available to serve. But then, of course, it's a challenge, isn't it? There are times when the bank account is less than $100. What do I do? I don't tell Pauline about it. She'll be. I tell my Heavenly Father. I can dare say, I can testify, we never lack. We never lack. We may not be having luxury, but we never lack. In fact, as I look back, the Lord has been so good to provide for us. It is all about the grace of God. God provided and kept that we were even able to, in turn, give to others as well. And this verse in 2 Corinthians 9:8, something that really stirred me. Now each time, this has been a verse that has been there with me all the time. I say, God, thou art able to make all grace abound towards me and my family, so that we having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It is the grace of God. I don't know your situation. You might be struggling with something. May not be financial. You might be struggling, perhaps, in terms of health, in terms of your relationships. You don't know what's going to be like tomorrow. But God's grace has been sufficient for you in the past. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We have come thus far. You know, as I look back and I think financially, there was challenges. I mean, that helped me. I thank God for that. It helped me to learn to trust God more. Of course, at the same time, get the family to learn to trust God as well. going through health challenges, in and out of the hospital, insurance that one insured me. What do you do? Trust the Lord. If you do what you need to do, you can. When they come to that limit, it says, yes, the Lord, the rest, the Lord will take care of it. So what is all? What is it? Grace of God. It is all the grace of God. So whatever you have, acknowledge that it is the grace of God and it is something that God holds us accountable. Be thankful. Second, G, grace. Next is I, invest. With this resource that God has given to you, invest wisely on things of eternal value. Give to help those around us who are poorer. Do you know that there are some in our midst who are poorer? Are you aware? Are you just comfortable in your own zone? Take note of that and extend the help. Give to the missionaries. This is investing wisely. Give to mission works. Not only giving to mission work, missionaries. Why not use this resource to go on mission trips? And as I think back about mission trips, for the past many, many years, we went to Jordan. Going to Jordan is not cheap. But it is a commitment to put that finances to trust the Lord to provide. Use them to go on mission trips. To do what? To encourage the missionaries. To help to encourage the saints there as well. And some of us may say, I do not know what I can do. I can't do anything. The trip that we went to Jordan actually dispelled many of these myths. The ministry in Jordan was primarily Mandarin speaking. If you are not Mandarin speaking, either you are Arabic speaking. Arabic speaking, many of us, no way. Mandarin speaking, well, a little bit. But you see, we went there. I remember there are times we went there with loads, literally loads of Bibles. God opened up the way for us to go in, clear to the customs, to bring in the Bibles. Because for the brethren there in need, and this is what, you have more people, you can bring in more. And not only that, we went there. We share our testimony. We speak with our broken Mandarin. The Chinese brethren were encouraged. I remember a few years ago when I was in China, one of the sisters says, when you first time you came, we don't understand what you're talking about. But we are very much encouraged, you know. Very much encouraged. And so he said, well, some of us, you know, we went there, they use the term like OCBC, Orang China Bukan China, right? Can't speak Mandarin. Chinese, but cannot speak Chinese. Mandarin. But you were there, you encouraged the brethren. Some try, struggle. He's talking about lamb, he said, Kai Tang. You remember some of you? Mixed with dialects and so on. But, you know, he went through. And not only will we encouragement to the Chinese brethren, we will encouragement, I'm sure, to the missionaries there. They long for their kaki lang come over there to encourage them. But we also encouragement to the Arab as well, our Arab friends, when we went to their home to encourage them, to sing with them and join with them. After we go to this home, some of you know Maher, his family. Often in the Arab setting, when you go to their home, you talk and talk, that's all. You know, enjoy tea, enjoy food, lasting few hours in one go. But we introduce to them something that they have never experienced. At the end, towards the end, they say, come, let's sing. We sing English, we sing Mandarin, they sing Arabic. You go for a mission trip. Invest the money. Air ticket at times are cheaper. A certain location is more expensive. Are you willing to use that money, invest it, and say, I'll go for this mission trip? Or say, I better go for some tour elsewhere. We haven't had a mission trip for quite a while. Let's pray that God will help us, that we will plan for a mission trip. In my prayer that each and every one of you will make it a plan, a point. Say, come, I will put aside the money to go for this trip. May God use me. So as we think about this gift of God, think first of all the grace of God. And as we think of the grace of God entrusted to us, invest wisely. Next F, fellowship. This means of grace which God has given to us is a means of fellowship for us to be involved in the life of fellow believers. The believers in Corinth was very far away from the believers in Jerusalem. They have never met them, for most of them. And yet there was this fellowship as a gift. And so God has given us this grace so that we can extend this fellowship to care one for another. We thank God that our church size is reduced. We know one another. The church is huge. The pastor often don't even know who is present, who is not present. Not only the pastor, but church leaders as well. One can just slip in and then after service they slip out without being aware. But the size that God has given to us is good. This far is not the day this morning, but it's good. We know who is missing today. Who is present today? Do you know who is missing today? You know someone missing, extend out their fellowship. Call the person up. WhatsApp the person. Hey, didn't see you in church today. What happened to you? This is a very practical thing, by the way. God has given you the resources to be able to communicate. Because someone may now miss, may be missing today, the person may be languishing in hospital today. Too urgent to inform anybody else. Possible? Or too sick with high fever, no, they're not communicating. Can you and I, in His grace, communicate to them? To reach out to them? Someone they have been talking to every week, you know, every Sunday at Abraham's tent, and suddenly he's not there. Not here today. What do you do? Pray for the person, contact the person. This is fellowship. And lastly, be thankful. Every Christian is expected to have this attitude of thankfulness. The Apostle Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When you are thankful, you do things so willingly. You will do things so joyfully. You will do things so gratefully. We must learn to be thankful. How often do we say thanks to somebody else? We start out in a family. Maybe the husband, the wife, the parents may have prepared breakfast, lunch, or whatever it is on the table. And you go and sit down. You pray, you thank God for the food, but you thank the person who prepared this for you. You thank your mom, your dad, or whoever that's prepared the food. I think we must learn to be thankful. I expected them, not when they, my wife will prepare it, that's it. But why prepare? Say thanks. This is something that all of us must be reminded of. Let us learn to do that. And let us practice it as part of our habit. When you go to a hawker center, the food is cleared by the one who cleaned the table and so on. Do you say thanks to that person? This is his job to clear, no? Her job to clear. Thank the person for it. I mean, it's something we learn. I learned. When Diopoli was in the UK, we went to in Edinburgh. One of the things I learned there was learn to thank the driver. So you go up the bus, there's only one entrance. You go up, you pay the money, you pay the fare. Then as you come down, everybody was, as they come down, they're about to alight, they will turn to the driver and say, thank you, before they move on. Thank you, and move down. If you don't say that, right? Maybe you should do that. Surprise somebody. As we build up this habit, it's something that's good for us. We learn to be thankful to God who has blessed us, has provided for us, has been so gracious to us. In all that surrounds us, everything. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? When the weekly is given to you, do you thank the one who gave the weekly to you? I was very much intrigued or blessed, rather, or revealed as well. Now I saw one of the brother. As the offering bag was passed to the person said, thank you for the offering bag, for the privilege to give an offering. So I affirmed that, thank you. Say thank you to the ushers. So let us all be thankful to the Lord. Thankful to all those people around us. Let us learn and inculcate the habit. This is the grace of God. Be thankful. The Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. So as we think about next week, come with a thankful heart. God has been so good to us. Come with a thankful heart. In that thankful heart, perhaps, you know, think about perhaps you can give more as an expression of your thanks to God for being so good to you, to your family, to us as a church.
So may the Lord speak to us. And may each one of us be that channel of blessings. Let us pray.